time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prescott?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
We're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good morning and welcome to On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on this January 14th, 2023, this Martin Luther King weekend. I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation. I'm actually down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios. And I have wimped out today, folks. I am actually in the clubhouse. Typically, I'm outside on Central Avenue, but I'm closer to the bar today, which is a great thing. And I'm riding solo, but I do have another fellow hack. He's down here each and every Saturday to support me, Kenny Knowles. And we're all bundled up. A couple of Iowa wimps down here in Florida. We've got long pants on, and it's going to be about high, about 52 today. But it'll be heating up as we talk the great game of golf, and we'll talk a little bit of Sony. That's taking place over in Honolulu, Hawaii, and we'll also talk the Heroes Challenge. John Rager's on top of that. I turned on the Golf Channel yesterday, and I was kind of curious what I was watching. Some of the notables in Europe, as well as Ireland and England, were playing in a Ryder Cup format. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Big O, Oscar Garner III, of course, he's moving. And this will be his last weekend of not being on the air. He's moving to the other side of town. And however, we have had some exciting news this week. As I say, each and every Saturday, if you're having a charitable event, get a hold of us. The Big O, our celebrity caddy, he'll come on out. We'll do it live, have a lot of fun. But now Luke and Big Storm Brewing are going to be our partners at that. It's something that they're excited about. They want to come out and hand out swag, and we'll have plenty of Big Storm. So we'll talk more about that. As I said, last year we did the first tee, Clearwater, St. Pete. We'll probably do Tampa this year, Super Bowl of Golf. And we're going to do the Sports Club of Tampa Bay, that event here on January 30th. That's at Carrollwood Country Club. Any of these charitable events that are given to charities, high schools that are trying to get support for their respective teams. We got a great show. We're going to talk, as we did last week, on a new segment, Outside the Ropes, with my son, Michael Rickard. There's a lot of unique things. And then another Iowan, Mark Egli. We'll warm him up with some of our sunshine conversation. He'll talk a little Zach Johnson. Zach, of course, is the Ryder Cup captain. He's a previous winner of the Sony. He's playing this week. He's a 3-under. He's respectable, 47 years young, and still a competitor. Right now, let's bring John Rieger into the conversation up there in Crescent Beach. I think you might even be a little chillier than we are as you get ready to launch our Wild Bill and Yankin Creek weather report from Crescent Beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I tell you, it's breathtakingly cold up here in Crescent Beach. I can tell you that. I just stepped inside from outside, so we're going to do this broadcast from inside today. But, you open up the show with the Wild Bills weather golf, and down there in St. Petersburg, I'm looking at some very, very cold temperatures. Looks like it's feels like 48 with the wind blowing about 13 miles an hour. This is a good day to stay inside and play some Golden Tee golf. But the Wild Bill Weather Report's brought to you by Yank and Crank, and it's extreme fishing fashion. If you go to Shopify, my Shopify, and type in Yank and Crank, you'll see some nice hats. And this is a cold enough day for your bald head, Mike, to have one on.
Hey, listen. I've seen your dome without a brim on it.
Well, I know I try to wear that. That's why I wear that hat all the time. Not only is it my logo and trademark, it does keep my bald spot warm.
It's your signature hat. Hey, why don't we dive into the Sony Championship leaderboard right now? If you're ready for that, because then we've got a loaded show. You'll want to do your golf report at the end. We've got Mark Gagley with all kinds of conversation, and then of course we're going to have the outside the ropes with my son Michael from Denver, Colorado. We're all over the country today. We're at Crescent Beach. We're downtown St. Pete, downtown Denver, right by Coors Field, and then Ankeny, Iowa, with our good friend Mark Gagley. So why don't we go over that leaderboard? You got it in front of you, or do you want me to pull that up?
I've got it right here, and I can tell you that this is one of the tournaments that everybody around the mainland here in the United States in the wintertime loves to watch, the Wyatt Open. Now, the Wyatt Open's been going on for a long time, but this version of it's celebrating its 25th anniversary. So it's a Wailea Country Club in Hawaii, and we've got a young leaderboard leading the way. You got a lot of players that are just making their way. They're becoming notable. One is Chris Kirk, who's leading at 11 under par. He's a tour veteran out there. He hasn't had a leaderboard on top of a leaderboard in quite a while. You've got Montgomery, Spahn, and Buckley, Lipsky. These are last names, Taylor, Ekstrom. You don't get any names here until you get down to, we're tied for 16th, as old man Stewart Sink. So everybody on the leaderboard right now they're young, they're upcoming. Some have won a few events, some haven't. Probably the most notable right now is J.J. Spahn, who's having a good year and had a great year last year at 10 under par. So one of the beauties of watching the Hawaiian Open is you get to watch it at night. So I know there's NFL playoff games today. Most people be watching football, but for listeners out there, you know, DVR it on the Golf Channel because it's televised in prime time. You know, too bad golf can't be televised in prime time everywhere. I know when you've had U.S. Opens on the West Coast, they get huge ratings because you can watch it after dinner. So anyway, that's the leaderboard update. And back to you, Mike.
Brought to you by our good friends at Sea Dogs. And I've got exciting in the next couple of weeks. Got meetings on Monday with them, and their own Ice Pick Vodka. They're a proud supporter of On the Tee Florida, and they're going to be a big supporter as we dive into 2023. And a couple of storylines from the Sony Championship, John, that I, of course, I'm a huge fan of Zach Johnson being the Iowan. We'll talk to Mark Gagley about that. And Zach, he has made the cut, and he's sitting, he's respectable. I do love the Stewart Sink story. You know, he took a couple of years off to assist his wife through breast cancer, and she's recovered. He's got typically has one of his sons on the bag, but he's going to tear up the he'll tear up the Champions Tour when he gets up there. But you're talking about the young guys, and the guy on top of the leaderboard right now at 11 under, Chris Kirk. His personal story is really cool. He's got four young kids, you know, and a wife that's stuck by him. But he had his own demons with alcohol, and he's overcome. And I just think that's a superb story for Chris Kirk.
Hey, one of the things just made me think about something. Stewart Sink obviously was the one that won the Open Championship, and he beat Tom Watson in a playoff. And I was reading an article this week about Tom Watson, and Tom Watson, in 1977, he won two major golf championships, and he won those using illegal golf clubs. They discovered at the end of the year that, you know, he played Ram golf clubs and that the grooves were too deep and they were illegal golf clubs, but they still awarded him those Open championships. And playing Ram with Tom Watson that particular year was Gary Player. Well, 5 years later, Tom Watson wins another two major championships in the same year, in 1982, and lo and behold, he won this time with an illegal golf ball. He didn't know his golf balls weren't legal, but Ram had to pull him off the market. They still let him have the championship. Wasn't it like he got off the golf course on the Sunday and his name's engraved in the trophy and they've notified him? They didn't really discover this until the season was over. So, interesting enough, four of Tom Watson's major championships came with illegal clubs and balls.
Well, my first golf clubs were Rams, and I think they came from Kmart or Sears was where you could purchase them. I can't believe that he played with Ram. What happened to Ram? Somebody buy him?
Well, I think Ram probably got merged into another golf company. We had the good fortune when we were at the Bloomingdale Golfers Club. Scott Hansberger was one of our young pro members trying to play golf for a living, and his family owned Ram. So we had a close connection with Ram Golf there. And actually, you know, Tom Watson, you know, he's the top player in the world at the time playing Ram Golf Club. So they were a very reputable country company, and but it just has gone by the wayside now. I think they got assimilated into another company. We'll have to kind of look that one up for next week and do a little follow-up for you.
And another question I had for you, what do you think of J.J. Spahn's look with the untucked shirt? I think he's kind of a cool cat. He's sending his own message.
Well, this is one of golf's most ridiculous controversies out there. I don't know if you remember last year they were talking about hoodies where I think it was Richard Hatton or somebody wore a hoodie in the tour event because it was cold, you know. The dress code police, you know, were in full swing there, and everybody was outraged that he was wearing a hoodie. Why not? If it's cold, it keeps your head warm. But this is a deal where he played in the Tournament Champions last week because he did win a tour event last year, and he wore one of those shirts. It's like a Tommy Bahama. You know, you don't tuck your shirt in. And I'm a champion. I'm not having to tuck your shirt in on the golf course. But I remember one year I was playing over at Old Memorial Golf Club, beautiful place. The Outback Founders built it. It's right next to the airport there in Tampa. And I brought a group of golfers over there, and I'm standing on the first tee. And I had my cell phone out, and I was wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt. And all of a sudden, the golf professional comes up to me and goes, "You've broken the only two rules we have here at this golf course." I said, "What is it?" He says, "Well, you're not allowed to use the cell phone anywhere except in one little spot in the clubhouse." I said, "Okay," so I put that away. And he says, "You have to tuck your shirt in. We don't allow untucked shirts here at Old Memorial." And so I went ahead and tucked my shirt in. And then I hear a car honk, and I look over, and it's a Maserati, and it's the founder of Outback, Chris Sullivan. Somehow in his office, he saw me from a long way away and was laughing at me. But I did manage to break the only two rules that you can at Old Memorial. And one of them is, you know, I think more touring professionals, you know, they should play with the untucked look. I mean, the untucked shirt, especially some of these guys get a little belly going. It's better to have that untucked shirt than it is to have it tucked in with the guy wearing a 45-year-old tour pro wearing a tight pair of pants with a white belt looking like some of the 20-year-olds out there.
Well, you're referring to many guys in our demographic as far as the untucked shirt, and you've always been a rebel, so that story doesn't surprise me. Hey, speaking of another story, Jordan Spieth, poor guy. I mean, he's on top of the leaderboard after Thursday's round, and he thinks he's got it all going on in his press conference, and lo and behold, he doesn't make the cut, and there's been only two golfers that have went to bed on Thursday night on day one and with the lead, and then didn't make the cut.
Well, that can happen. That can very well happen. You know, golf is a very humiliating game. It's a cruel game sometimes. And one day you can be on top of the world. The next day, you know, you're at the bottom of it. I remember one year I was playing in a 2-day tournament, and I set the course record the first day with a 63, and I'm leading the tournament. And I could do no wrong. I mean, you know, I didn't really hit it good, but I made a lot of putts. I even pulled out a shot for an eagle, too, on a par four. And then the next day, I shot 76 and finished last in the last place money. At least I got a check from it. I went from leading the tournament to last place overnight. So I feel Jordan Spieth's pain, and golf, anything can happen to you out there, and you'll learn from it for sure.
All right, my friend, why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll get Michael on the line. We're efforting him right now, and we'll have a little fun with Outside the Ropes. We'll be back here on the tee, Florida, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Sorry.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Next, on the tee, Florida, I'm Mike Rickard, the hapless hack down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, and I am nestled in close to the bar, got all the televisions around, my wingman Kenny Knowles here, Big O will be back next week, and now we're going to have a conversation with my son Michael Rickard as soon as we connect with him. We need a new producer, John Rager. Some buffoon gave Matt in the studio the wrong phone number. Can you imagine that?
Well, we need to up your intern game there. You're right next to Ector College. There's a lot of young people wanting to get into sports marketing. And
well, you would think so.
You need to go have a job fair.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing I was going to bring up about the Sony and bringing the families over, which is a great time. However, this isn't one of those 17 special events. What are they labeling them?
Well, they call them designated events now. At the beginning, when they introduced the concept of these things last year, they called them elevated events. So now I think they're called designated events. But yeah, it's not one of the 17 out there. I believe what I do understand. I think that there's actually 13 of them. But as a PGA Tour player, if you're in the top, I think 20 or 30, and to receive the extra payout monies, you have to play in 12 or 13 of them, I believe. So I think that there's 13 elevated events out there. And, it's in response to LIV Golf, obviously, and this is not one. That's why you have such young, you have a lot of young people in there. I think Jordan, for the reason he wanted to play, you're already over there. You're already playing the Tournament of Champions. You might as well do that. But Jordan, I also read this week that he has got a big RV now. He bought one of those nice rock and roller
John Daly rides.
Yeah, it's like a John Daly. I guess you better call it. It'd be more like a tour bus, I guess, is a better description for it. But that's how he's going to travel with his wife and newborn baby and go from tournament to tournament that way. But normally what happens, too, is the caddy all of a sudden has to get their commercial license to drive one of those things and have extra duties. So I'm not sure if Jordan's caddy is going to pull that off or he's just going to go get a driver. Or who knows, he might drive the bus himself.
Well, he is driving the bus already because he didn't make the cut. Hey, speaking of elevated, let's go out to the Mile High City and my son Michael Rickard in our second week of Outside the Ropes. Had a lot of fun last week. Sorry about the little technical difficulties, son. Imagine this. That was because of your father with his double ADD, age deficit disorder and attention deficit disorder. But thanks for joining us again here on the T Florida. And good morning. Good early morning out there in Denver.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, John, you got any fact? Oh, I know what I got, guys, to start out with, which is kind of cool. We want to do things outside the ropes. And I don't know if I got this sent over to you, Michael. You may have known this already. Do you know that Sam Snead, initially, his putting style was like playing croquet, and he was superb at it, and they outlawed that. Did you know that, John Rager?
Absolutely. In fact, Sam Snead has the distinction, I believe, of winning the Greater Greensboro Open. I think he was 52 years old when he won it. Now, when you're 52 years old, that's the new 35. But in those days, he was a senior golfer still competing on the PGA Tour, and I believe in 1965 he won the Greensboro Open. But he did. He had putting woes. You know, a lot of these touring professionals, you know, they still hit the ball pretty good as they get older, but the putting will leave you. And so he developed a croquet style and a mallet putter. It has a shaft right in the middle of it, and he would straddle the line, and he would use this. Well, you know, the USGA, in their wisdom, I guess they outlawed that. But, it, you know, and here's what happens is if that method was the ultimate method of putting, everybody would be doing it, all right? But he was the only one that did it, so he ended up going side saddle. That's where you could Google that for listeners out there. Go Google side saddle putting and Sam Snead. And yeah, I even tried side saddle for a while. It was popular back in the 70s a little bit, trying to, you know, get that little edge. It's not a bad way to putt. You know, you have to have a certain type of grip on it, and side saddle putting's usually good on the faster greens. If you're trying to go do some like Wild Bill Storrow backyard golf, I would recommend the side saddle method there. But yeah, absolutely. So Sammy Snead was one of the ones that was responsible for the side saddle putter. But all in all, he was the one that the USGA actually banned it once after he won a PGA Tour event straddling the line.
You know, yeah, Michael, yeah, we talked yesterday about, you know, what a hack I am, and we learned from Grandpa Bill Day. Unfortunately, he never got an opportunity to try that, Sam Snead. You think I got any shot at improving my putting capabilities before I make a run at the Pop Stroke Tour?
Well, I don't know. Do you have any croquet mallets out there?
Well, hey, it's Florida. There's a lot of retired people. I bet there's a ton of freaking croquet mallets.
Did they outlaw it because it was too easy? Or I wonder what the reason that they outlawed it.
Well, the USGA, I mean, you know, if you've ever picked up a USGA rule book and looked through it, you know, the rules were written by attorneys. So go with that. I mean, you know, most of the USGA volunteers throughout the years, most of them are lawyers, and they're the ones that wrote the rules. To their credit, they made things simpler. But yeah, years ago, we used to have a golf company that we sold to Callaway, and with our golf company, we had to design golf clubs, and we had to send them off to the USGA for approval. And you know, it's pretty strict on what they have. And the big manufacturers, we were just a little manufacturer. We were ranked in the top 10 of quality of all manufacturers in the world, but we were about 50th in size, so we couldn't compete with Callaway. That's why they bought us. Thank you, Callaway. But Titleist, Callaway, TaylorMade, they pushed the limits on their golf club design with the USGA. There was something years ago called spring effect, where the coefficient of restitution, meaning that the ball, the face of the club would actually compress and spring, and that would give the ball a little extra distance. And I remember the year that Arnold Palmer signed on with Callaway, and that driver was deemed illegal. You couldn't play it in USGA events. You could still play it at your club with whatever you wanted to do. The head pro at Bay Hill at the time, Jim Deaton, he had his men's member guests, and keep in mind, Arnold Palmer owns the club. He owns Bay Hill. You know, he was listed at the time as the general manager of Bay Hill. This is his pride and joy. They had the big members guests. And Jim's on the rules committee of the USGA and the PGA, in addition to being the head pro at Bay Hill. Well, he decides, and the men's member guest, we're going to ban these clubs, even though that Arnie is endorsing Callaway and the shop's full of these spring effect clubs. He banned them from the member guest, and Jim was looking for a new job on Monday.
Hey, Michael, what did you dig up this week? Anything interesting we can kick around? And I will say this. You said that the rule books were written by attorneys. Well, Grandpa we're talking about was an attorney, and he wrote some interesting rules when you played with him, didn't you, son?
Well, he carried around a two-way chipper. I don't know if you're familiar with a two-way chipper, but they're definitely not legal.
Yeah,
you know what? And you're absolutely right. That's the greatest club ever invented. And I can tell you that our buddy Wild Bill Storrow, he's deadly with one of those two-way chippers. You know, what I did years ago, I actually made the front page of Golf Magazine because knowing you couldn't use the two-way chipper, I taught my students how to use the putter chip, how to take a 7-iron and use it like a putter and used the loft of the face like a chipper. So it's called the putter chip, and I actually won one of the best golf tips of all time and got on the front of Golf Magazine for that. But it was inspired, believe it or not, by the chipper, because that chipper club is it's deadly. But here's one thing for our listeners out there. Illegal in golf is different than illegal in life, all right? Illegal in golf means you just can't go play it in a USGA sanctioned event, or if you're maintaining a USGA handicap. I think they call it the World Golf Handicap System now. You're not allowed to use the club like that and maintain a legitimate handicap or play in a USGA event. Well, the other 98% of the golf world, do whatever you want to do to have fun. If you want to have six chippers in your bag, have six of them. Have all the illegal clubs. Because, you know, you want to get out there and you want to have fun. But, yeah, the illegal stuff, people get scared like, oh, my goodness, bro, I've got a chipper in my bag. Is this illegal? And I said, no, don't ask, don't tell. Just go play and have a good time.
Speaking of chipping, agreed. Michael, why don't you share some of the things you dug up? Well, one of them, talk about Colin Morikawa.
I saw an interview with Colin Morikawa, and his average right now with the 6-iron, his accuracy, he's hitting it closer with a 6-iron than most pros are hitting their wedges. You can look that up. So his average distance to a pin when he's approaching, he's right now sticking it closer with his 6-iron than most tour guys are using, putting it their wedge, which is amazing, accuracy, because you think about it, most pros are pretty deadly accurate with wedges, not too many guys are sticking it outside of 14 feet. And Colin Morikawa right now is hitting a 6-iron so well that he's putting it inside most tour players are putting their wedge.
Well, that's an interesting factoid for hacks like us. Hey, let's go. And I know, John, that you over the years, every course has a guy that thinks he runs the place, and that would have been our build day back in the day. Remember, Michael, some of the rules when you played with them. Throw a couple of those out, because I know all of our listeners that aren't diehard Golf Channel guys, they like to hear the funny stories of buffoonery out there, and he certainly had a bag full of them.
Well, he always used to say, lost ball is penalty enough. Sometimes he'd lose a ball he won't count it on your score because lost ball is penalty enough.
Well, how about the...
That is an absolute great rule. I believe in that. At different golf courses, I've had the good fortune to be able to build and develop. One of the things we would actually put in, we call them nature areas. Basically, it's the swamp that you build a golf course around. And we call them nature areas. And we would have the no hunt signs put up, meaning that we don't want people in there looking for golf balls or snakes and all kinds of other stuff in there. We don't want people wading in. So we called it no hunt. But I like that rule even better. It's not even a penalty shot. You don't even hunt for it, and the lost ball is penalty enough. I love that. Hey, I was thinking, Michael, you're talking about stats and things like that. I do a John Rager Golf Report. I post it every day on social media and various different platforms and for On the Tee Florida. And one of the things that I posted, back in December, actually, beginning December, was from Lou Stagner. They spell his name Stagner. His first name's Lou, L-O-U, Lou Stagner. And he is the king of statistics. And if you want to, our listeners out there, if you want to go and see statistics and get those kind of statistics about what the tour pros are really doing, what the average amateurs are really doing, go there, because I learn something new every time I go. You can find him on Twitter. I think on Twitter he just pipe in Lou Stagner Golf and you'll see the stats, but he's got stats on everything. He's got more stats on golf than Major League Baseball teams have on their statistics.
Since both of you guys are golfers and I'm not, I do want to ask you a little about pop stroke and my possibilities of potentially going for. You think there'll be qualifiers? You have to go to qualifiers of pop stroke to get in their tournaments there, son.
You know, it looks pretty serious. I'm not sure as far as that goes, but you know, the course is obviously being developed by Tiger Woods. It's going to be you know, top of the line, but it looks like it's you know, family friendly, but also you know, Tiger wasn't you know, it's not your typical putt-putt golf course, that's for sure.
Have you looked at it, John? Have you looked at it? Have you been to one yet?
You know, I haven't physically been to one, but I've looked it up online, done some research, and talked to some people that have played Pop Stroke, and it's a very interesting place. It's entertaining. It's like Top Golf in a lot of ways, where you don't necessarily have to be a good golfer or golfer, period. Just like going to putt-putt, anybody can do putt-putt. But this is serious putt-putt. But yet it's fun. It's an entertainment venue. They have great food and beverage, and the putting greens, you know, they're artificial putting greens, but they're just absolutely gorgeous. And they've got a lot of
ventilation. Yeah, it looks like it.
And whether you're a highly skilled player or whether you're just out there and want to stroke it around a little bit, what a great idea. It doesn't take that much time. So I haven't physically been to one. We're going to have to definitely have an on the tee Florida road trip down to one. I know there's one in Orlando. I know there's one in Sarasota. And just like we were talking about last week with Ricky Fowler and Paula Creamer went out there, and they had a little putting championship that was televised on the Golf Channel, and these two people literally walked off the street and beat them. So that was great fun for everybody. So it shows you that you don't necessarily be able to compete with touring professionals. It's not about hitting. It's not like driving for show. It's about putting for dough.
Exactly. Well, son, you got any other factoid? Then we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk to a man that's near and dear to both our hearts. We're going to talk to Mark Egli up there in Ankeny, Iowa.
Well, the only I just had a question for you guys. What do you think, our last three presidents, who do you think has the top, the lowest handicap?
Well, you know, I've seen this stat, and Donald Trump, supposedly has had the lowest handicap. You know, a lot of times the media looks at him, and they're critical of everything he does. It doesn't matter. He could show up to a golf course, and they're talking about him cheating at golf or whatever. But, you know, I actually did a swing analysis of him, and he's got a very, very, very good golf swing. So he's supposed to be a single-digit handicap, and based on what I've seen on his golf swing, yes, he probably definitely is a single-digit handicap. But I don't know if that's even the right answer, Michael. Did I get it right or wrong?
You are correct. So out of the last three presidents, our current president, Joe Biden, has a 6.7. Trump has a 2.5. And Obama is a 13.
Obama's 13? I thought he was the most athletic of the three.
Well, they say he can hoop, but golf just isn't his sport.
All right.
And, you know, we were talking about dress code earlier on the show, you know, about shirts tucked out. You know, Obama show up at the Camp David sometime to play golf in mom jeans. So, you know, he needed up his dress game out there.
He had to be cool, fellas. All right, Michael. Well, thanks for bringing us outside the ropes. We're going to talk a little serious golf now with Mark Egli, another Iowan, and we'll talk to you later. Have a great day, and stay warm there in the Mile High City.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, now let's switch gears to another Iowan. You're probably tired of this Iowa flavor there, Mr. Rager, but Mark Egli's kind enough to join us. How are you, my friend?
It's just a very mild day in Iowa for a change.
What's mild?
Oh, I think it's probably going to be 30 or maybe up to the 40s. Originally, they forecast 50, and the tee times were all taken up, but I was talking to my buddies playing over in the PGA Winter Tour Series down there, and he says it's in the 30 wind chills this morning over there where PGA plays their tournaments. And so I guess I should be happy that I have a nice 72-degree home to sit in comfortable all day.
Well, you know, Mark, our good friend Wild Bill is juicing today. He's taking all of his oranges so they don't freeze out in the field. And he's juicing them, and what a great morning down here would be to add some ice pick vodka to that juicing. But we're not used to those kind of temperatures down here in Florida. Like Iowa, you probably go outside in shorts in this kind of weather.
Nope, I'm old. I hate the cold.
Hey, you know, for our listeners out there, you want to go to markegley.com. Mark, MarkEgly.com. And one of the reasons you want to go there, we know, Mark, you're a very unique individual, and we had a wonderful, inspirational talk last time you were on the show about something that had nothing to do with golf and had everything to do with your health and things like that. But you go to this website, and, you know, not only are you the number one ranked Iowa golf instructor for 8 years and teacher of the year numerous, numerous times, which is quite an honor to have your peers do this. I used to be president of the North Florida section. You know, I was twice president, and I can tell you that to win the Teacher of the Year award, you're the pro's pro to be able to do it. But you could go to your practice facility there, and not only can you take golf lessons, you can take baseball lessons. What is that? You can take baseball lessons at your practice facility.
Yeah, for a while there, I had a lot of the top baseball pitchers and hitters. And I've been hit a few times, and when you get old, it doesn't feel so good getting hit in the pitching arm or something like that by a batted ball by a 18-year-old kid. So I'm doing less of that, but still the physics are all the same. And
you know, that's an interesting point. You know, can you tell our listeners out there about the similarities in the athletic movement between baseball and golf? For a long time, it was an old wives' tale that for baseball players, you better not go play golf because it'll mess up your baseball swing and vice versa. But yet, there are a lot of similarities. What are they?
Well, the human body's put together one way, and the joints work one way. And when they work against the joint, it slows down performance. And where there's rumors out there, let me throw out a weird stat at you, but if you take the highest levels of high school athletics in Florida, I don't know, what class would that be?
Well, I think that, yeah, the school, they rank the levels by the size of the schools. And
yep.
I was a high school golf coach for a class 1A, which is schools that are, you know, just a couple hundred students and below.
What would the biggest be?
The biggest, I think, is up to 6A now, where you have like 4,000 students or something at a high school.
Okay.
Let's just call it 6A.
Well, in Iowa, it's 4A. I had 21 students. They all went on to be college athletes, except for the one that followed his girlfriend to Iowa State that didn't have a baseball team, and she dropped him the first week. But... And Mike knows the connection, like with some of the kids I had. And in a 4-year period of time, I had 5 players tie for the home run championship. My baseball players, when I started working with pitchers, every one of them, their earned run average went down, except for Joel Lanning, the quarterback at Iowa State. And he can't do any better than 0. His couldn't go down. And they blew everybody away in the state title. Next year, you know, had another group of young kids. Same thing happened. But the common link amongst all of them, okay, we work together. Put that aside. They would come out and we'd work in the batting cage for 20, 30 minutes. Then they'd come out and hit golf balls for 3 hours. And they had so much fun.
Well, that's
and this is including
then.
On and game days. And I'm going to throw something at you here is that you don't want to hear that kids could throw a different type of curveball and never ruin their arm. There was a great major league MVP Cy Young Award winner that I learned from at Michigan State named Mike Marshall, who became Dr. Mike Marshall. He was a medical physician. And we learned from the same professors. And I applied what I learned in those classrooms to the game of golf and further applied it to baseball. And I had so much fun with the game. And we eliminated, if anybody ever wanted to listen in the future, the need to have Tommy John surgery. Because I want to ask you two a simple question. There's been one NFL football player that had Tommy John surgery, and he was a student of mine after that. And have you ever heard of a catcher who throws almost every day, or a quarterback developing ulnar collateral ligament damage that ends up leading to Tommy John surgery. But can you name one?
I can't. You know, I mean, I know in life.
That's usual. That's normal.
I know in life I've been thrown a lot of curveballs, so the last thing the world should do is I try to throw curveballs back, but I couldn't name one.
Okay, so now I'm going to throw out a guy I'm giving golf lessons to, and I said, you played against my team, but I really wish I could have been your throwing coach because I thought you could have thrown it as big and strong as you are, 50 or 60 yards. And I said, but what we're applying to golf here, and then I gave him a little spiel there about the Tommy John surgery, and he looked at me, and he ended up playing for my Detroit Lions. I said, have you ever heard of a quarterback getting Tommy John surgery? And he looked me in the eye, and he goes, I am the first quarterback in the NFL history to get Tommy John surgery. So, Mike Rickard, who was it?
Chuck Long?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Chuck had this very accurate style where it worked against his elbow a little bit. And you know all those passes he completed in a row. You know, him and Bo had the closest, what's that award they give every year to the Heisman or something like that they give every year? He was in the closest one ever.
Well, yeah, and Bo Jackson was the winner.
Bo Jackson was the winner and the closest ever. And I'm a kinesiologist. Long before it was fashionable, long before there was computers, I am the old guy. And I love sports. And kind of hard watching anymore because everybody has a launch monitor or some kind of plate on the ground that's going to tell them about ground forces. And what happened to natural ability? And what I did with all these baseball players and all these golfers, I gave them permission to use their natural ability and let them have fun. It's amazing how much success they had.
Mark, you've got the secret there, and the key is the three-letter word is fun. And I'm of the age group too. I came up where you didn't have video cam. I was like one of the first people in the country, by virtue of giving golf lessons to a guy that built TV studios and broadcast studios around the world. He actually gave me one of the first portable video systems to use, so I could work on his golf swing with it. And from that point on, it's interesting because I'm one of the people I learned from all the old guys. I learned from the old pros that played in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I learned a lot from them. And and yet now in the business of golf instruction, a lot of times you've got students that come to you. If you don't have a track man, you don't have a $25,000 track man, or if you don't have certain video, if you don't have all these different, now they have artificial intelligence apps out there. If you don't have it, they feel like they didn't get their money's worth, and yet the average person's handicap has not dropped in the last 40 years. I think USGA's been tracking this, where the average handicap still haven't dropped. With the advent of the finest golf clubs you can manufacture, and the turf conditions are unbelievable now than they were 40, 50 years ago. You've got instruction and access to instruction and nutrition and all the different things, and people's handicaps aren't going down. But what I have found myself personally to get the best results for any student, and you've just nailed it, and it's so important, is this game has got to be fun, and it's got to be fun for the players, and quit trying to, mimic Tiger Woods or Adam Scott or all the different pros out there, because when you start looking at all the successful players of all time, man, they got all kinds of crazy looking swings out there.
But one thing they do when they start swinging forward, they deliver the club head.
Absolutely. It's that lead lag. It's a natural athletic motion that you find in any sport out there. And you're absolutely right. And so I really admire what you're doing, and admire the golf instructors out there that still understand. You've got a human there, and the brain doesn't duplicate things like a computer. Every swing's going to be a little bit different, and you've got to understand that first. And by getting people just to have some fun, they'll naturally start swinging the golf club and playing better golf.
Fellas, yeah. I hate to break up this educational conversational, but we're up against a hard break that I delayed. Mark, I appreciate you taking time as you have in the past, and we're going to get you on more consistently because you and Rager can give our audience a lot of valuable information, especially hacks like me. Stay warm this weekend, my friend. I'll give you a shout this week. How's that sound?
I just got to tell you, you're keeping better company there with Mr. Rager.
I miss the onslaught of insults from Judd Gibb, I can tell you that. All right, we're going to take a break here on the T Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheider is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back. We got a little beyond our breaks there, John Rager, but we're brought to you by our good friends, of course, at Shrimpy's Waterfront. That conversation with PGA teaching professional Mark Egli, and we'll talk more about Zach Johnson as we get closer to the Ryder Cup, of course. He is the 2023 captain, and he's excited about that. And then, of course, we're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. And now let's have a little John Rager golf report brought to you by Coppertail Brewing.
Well, you know, Mike, when you get two PGA golf professionals together and we're supposed to talk about the Ryder Cup and Zach Johnson, you're going to have a Cracker Barrel breakout there. We're always going to talk about golf because we all, as PGA golf professionals, we have a love for the game, we have a passion for the game, and we love teaching the game. No matter whether you've been a top professional competitor or you're just an average club pro out there just giving a few lessons here and there, we all share a love for the game of golf. But anyway, with today's John Rager Golf Report, throughout the week, we have been posting some different things out there about different events going on in the world of golf. But one of the things, and I won't mention the name right now, but I know that, you know, for our listeners out there, we tell you that we're Florida's fastest growing radio show, and we're in about the five figures of listenership. And in February, we might jump into about seven figures of listenership out there with the deal we have coming down the road. So that's our teaser, Mike. That's a teaser. But back to the John Rager Golf Report. One of the things coming down the pike is the NFL Alumni Super Bowl of Golf Qualifier. And I had the good fortune of being the PGA rules official for that last year, and I've just been recruited again and named as the PGA rules official for this year's Super Bowl of Golf Qualifier. It's going to be held at Carrollwood Country Club in Tampa, Florida there. And that's where I met you, Mike. That's where we joined forces and got together. I became a guest on your show every week. You just went ahead and says, well, you might as well join ranks there. So it's a wonderful event. So it was great to have met you last year at that show and develop a great radio relationship here and friendship off the outside the ropes also. But for listeners out there, you can be anybody off the street and you can play in this tournament. It's a scramble tournament. You get four people together. There's a special handicap system. If you visit the TampaBay.NFLAlumni.org, again, TampaBay.NFLAlumni.org, you'll see the information for the golf tournament and get a team together because we're going to pair you with a former NFL player. And a lot of them are from the Buccaneers, since a lot of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Super Bowl champions several times, have made their home in Tampa Bay permanently after retiring from football. So it's a big Tampa Bay Buccaneer-themed event. Raises money for kids and different charity things. And so I just want to recommend everybody from the John Rager Golf Report, if you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, you're on LinkedIn, plus I've got about five or six other social media platforms out there. We post these reports. I try to do things that are unique, things that are different, things that you just don't normally hear. So this week we did talk about the NFL alumni. We talked about the future of golf in 2023, the predictions, and probably the best article I found out there was from the Global Golf Post, and I've got a link to that. So if you want to see what the predictions are, then at the end of the year, you can look back to see what happened. And also, and this is somebody that we got to get on the show. His name's Steve Pike. He's got Spike on Travel, SpikeOnGolfAndTravel.com, and I can tell you that this guy travels the world, and he's got great reviews. If you like to eat, sleep, and drink golf, that's a phrase that I invented years ago when we were at the Bloomingdale Golfers Club. Golfers Club is for people who like to eat, sleep, and drink the game of golf. Well, Steve naturally covers this, and he travels the world, and he's got a great blog out there, SpikeOnGolfAndTravel.com. If you're traveling anywhere to play golf, and not only playing golf, but you know, dining and food and beverage and all kinds of different things to see around the world, go visit that. So that was the accumulation of the John Rager Golf Reports this week there, Michael.
Well, we got about two minutes. I do want to share with the audience, when I first saw John Rager, this cool cat had a brim on, stogie in his mouth, and he's presiding over the Super Bowl of golf and all these NFL guys, and I'm thinking, who's this guy? He's kind of... he's got that suave, cool look, and I was almost afraid to approach you. I thought, you know, you might be one of those cool cats that was a little offish. And then night before, you had your Tommy Bahama shirt untucked, and then I knew you were my kind of guy.
Well, you know, Mike, I'm a legend in my own mind, I guess is the best way to do it. You know, it's one of those things, the older we get, the better we were. But
right.
We had a great time there at that NFL alumni tournament last year, and it's going to be bigger and better this year. I just got finished meeting with Walter Carter, who is the president of the NFL alumni Tampa Bay, and the Super Bowl of golf.
We got to wind it down, brother. We'll get Walter on one of these weeks as well. From the Fergs Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickard. For Michael Rickard, Mark Egli, John Rager, Joe Boudreau, and Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening on the T Florida. Stay tuned to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection next. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. And remember, keep it in the short grass and always hit them straight.